Yes, Canucks Central had another big night at Rogers Arena. The Canucks welcoming in some old friends as the Arizona Coyotes are in town to take on the Canucks, who are riding a win streak. They got the overtime win over the Vegas Golden Knights the other night. But still a lot of work to do to get to the postseason, and a win tonight certainly is a must. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. And the one big concern I have, Sat, is you have the big win, emotional win over Vegas. You know, you blew the lead late, come back in overtime to win it. Now you have a big weekend off, a big game potentially against Dallas, but you have to get this win first here tonight. You can't be looking ahead if you're the Canucks.
Emotional letdown is inexcusable for this Canucks team.
Yep.
And I saw people text in and say, well, this is not like the Detroit and Buffalo. Those are actually better teams than Arizona. All the more reason not to have a letdown. And yes, the last time these two teams met in Vancouver, the Canucks won handily, but it was also a game that Boudreau was not very happy about their performance, talking about how...
Another one, a bad start. It was another bad start.
Bad start, but they got away with it. They won, and you know the scoreline flattered Vancouver because they won by a few goals, and it was never really close for Arizona, but they were outplayed, and Boudreau was livid about that. You can't get outplayed by Arizona tonight, even if you win. Just go out to take care of business. Just go out there, play hard, and act like this is a game you got to have, and you're not going to let that opportunity slide. And if that means you're going to put six on these guys, put six on them. Like, go out there and try to throttle the Coyotes. Don't go in there thinking you got it all figured out.
Karel Vemelka will get the start for Arizona tonight. Of course, it will be Thatcher Demko for the Vancouver Canucks. Right now, you know, Arizona has Travis Boyd as their number one center. Their biggest threat is Nick Schmaltz, who's having a fantastic season. But they don't have a ton of threats, and that's why, you know, this is absolutely a game the Canucks need to win here this evening. And one thing about the Canucks, Sat, and why I'm more confident that they aren't as prone to the slow start or the lackluster performance, it's just simply the way Elias Pettersson is playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a player in the form that he is in, it settles the rest of your lineup a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, and when Pettersson is leading the charge in the way that he has been over the last week and a bit, and really going back even farther than that, but, you know, not just the points right now, but just every area of the ice where he's having an impact, he gives the Canucks a bigger margin for error when he's playing the way he is.
He really is, because he's the best player on the ice when he's the best.
Yeah.
When he's on top of his game. And when you have a player who's capable of doing that, it just gives you a massive advantage. And, you know, it's like Yannick mentioned, in hockey, one guy can make the difference. But when you have a goaltender like Thatcher Demko, and the margins kind of become a bit finer in that regard, and you have a little bit more, you know, leeway because you are getting great saves, then sometimes all you need is one or two players being good. And that gives you enough to win. And any given night, if Pettersson goes supernova, or if JT Miller goes next level, or Bo Horvat has one of his big multi-goal games, when those things happen, this team can win because they get great saves. But it's even more extenuated when Elias Pettersson is by far the best player on the ice, like he was against Vegas. It just gives your team such a massive advantage, even if you are undermanned and outgunned on the totality like they were against Vegas the other night.
So one interesting change that they made, and Pettersson was asked about it a little bit today, didn't really say too much, but he's now playing the right wing with Horvat rather than the left. Him and Garland just flipped, even though, you know, that is technically their offside. Garland is a right shot. Pettersson is a left shot. I do think it when you are playing and you're off wing, it's a little bit easier to, well, you're able to get more shots off.
Well,
you're, in a way.
Yeah, because your forehand's facing the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it makes it easier for you to get your shots off. And that's something that Boudreaux also talked about by putting Pettersson on his off wing, and he mentioned how, you know, there's some great players around the league that have played their off wing very successfully, and he mentioned Ovechkin, and he said what that does is allows an offensive player to face the middle of the ice more with his forehand, which opens things up offensively a bit more. Now, it becomes a bit of an issue defensively at times because of where your stick is, but the way Pettersson's been back-checking, he certainly hasn't been holding him back or taken away from him in any regard. But I think offensively, when you play your offside, it can open things up for you as a winger, and we're kind of seeing that right now.
Well, it helped on his goal the other night because, yeah, you can he cut into the middle of the ice and was able to take the shot going over to the left wing rather than, you know, if you're cutting in from the left-hand side,
well, it's
harder up on your backhand.
Well, just think of it that way. It's harder for the defender, especially depending on which side-handedness the defender is, right, where you push the stick. Because if you're able to push it inside, it makes it harder for the defender to get a stick on your stick and try to take that shot away. And that's why, to your point, it was such a good example mentioning that, because he cuts to the net, and he has a long stick too. I mean, it's funny. Garland uses the shortest stick. Pettersson may use the longest stick outside of Myers on the team. And OEL has a long stick too, but he's able to kind of really push that puck aside. He really is able to create some space, and I think it's a really good example of that handedness coming to his favor on his offside.
It's like inverted wingers in soccer.
Yes. You
know? They like to cut in on their strong foot to go
Iron Robin.
Far post.
Iron Robin, yes. Just going left on his left. He couldn't stop it. Same move. Just go down a flank, cut left.
Same move every time, and he always scored. Iron Robin. Dan Riccio, I knew you were going to bring that up when I mentioned this.
That's like the best example. He does one thing, and he could never stop it.
Rafe with this text. Yes, 6 goals. We don't need any 5-1 business, so he's he's saying, that would be a letdown, 5-1. But 6 would be great.
Yeah.
This one from Dairy Farmer, Horvat has been looking to shoot more and drive the net more right now. Hashtag confidence. It's from Greg the Dairy Farmer. Thanks for the text. Greg, let's bring in our broadcast team. It's the pregame roundtable here on Canucks Central. As we get ready for the Canucks and Coyotes, it's Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch joining us at the Jim Robson broadcast gondola. Gentlemen, it's another big one tonight. We were just talking about Elias Pettersson and how impressive his game has been. He's on a 110-point pace since the All-Star break. But really, this last week, his game has taken another step, even, it feels.
Yeah, I think when you look at the play of Pettersson lately, Hershey, he's taking his game to a level that I don't know if we've seen from him before in the NHL. And the reason that I say that is you think about how slow his start was this season and how much he struggled out of the gate. He's now on pace to finish the season with 65 points. And, you know, if he continues to score at the rate that he has been lately, he's going to surpass that. His previous career high is 66. So we could be looking at a career-high offensive season for Elias Pettersson, where there was basically no offense in the first third of the year.
It's not fancy play, though. Remember his first year, it was like, ooh, what a play. Oh, that was cool. That was fast. Guys catch on to that around the league. And then you can't do that stuff anymore because they just... You know, your first year, they don't know you. You can do little things like that, get away with it. And I think he had to go through a transition where he started having to play in straight lines. And that's tough for a guy over in Europe. The ice is so big. So I think he's really figured out how to play in straight lines a little bit more. You know, yeah, you can do a little bit here and there, but you'll be a lot more effective than trying to be fancy and trying to do stuff. And I still make good plays and nice moves in that. But once guys get to know you, especially defensemen, you know, if you beat them once one-on-one, it's not going to happen a second time. So I think he's done a good job. I don't know what coach has kind of talked to him or been coaching him, but somebody's been saying something. Maybe it's Scott Walker, maybe it's Bradshaw, maybe it's Boudreaux, maybe it's Gustafson. I don't know. But somebody has helped him figure it out. He's got to play in straight lines, and that's what he's been doing.
Yeah, and, you know, I think overall, too, when we look at this Canucks team and how many players are super hot, and we look at Horvat, we look at Elias Pettersson, but Coles is doing a lot of different things well, too, and Garland's starting to produce a little bit. And JT Miller, it's funny, we're talking to Garrett about this, guys. He's cooled off, has 13 points in his last 13 games. And this is a far cry from the 37 points he put up in his previous 22 games before this last 13-game stretch. But how do you evaluate how he's played? He does seem like he's cooling off, but his cooling off is still a point per game. So how do we evaluate this cold streak, so to speak, for JT Miller?
Well, yeah, if this is a cold streak, then we'll take a JT Miller cold streak
sucks.
Anytime.
Get rid of him.
Yeah, you know, he continues to be a difference maker every night. And I know that, you know, maybe it's not coming at the same level that it was during that extensive point streak. And we've seen a little bit of frustration creeping into his game lately. But this is still a guy that's a key cog on their power play, which has heated up at the right time and is in the top 10 in the league going into the game tonight, sitting at number 9. Miller still is in the top 5 in the league for power play points this year. So even if he's a little bit quieter offensively, you look at recent games, what, they get 2 power play goals against the Golden Knights the other night, and he had an assist on one of them. So he's a guy that, you know, if the points aren't at that same level, he's still finding a way to help this team win every night.
Well, and if there is a recipe for confidence, it's going to be the Arizona Coyotes tonight. So maybe that'll help him. And Bratch is knocking on wood, but my goodness, I'm looking at this lineup. If they don't spank these guys, then, you know, they haven't done their job. This team has lost 500. I believe Bob Heater was talking to the radio guy for Arizona. He said they're almost at 500, or they had 500 man games lost to injury. And Brendan, we always talk about it, though, when you're in your end the whole time, and it was happening with the Canucks too,
you're taking hits, you're blocking
hits,
shots,
you're losing guys. That's how you get hurt. So you know, and I shouldn't be disrespectful, I don't, you know, every team in the NHL is good. It shouldn't be a spanking, but they should beat this team, and guys should be able to do some things creatively, like you know, this might be a good night for, you know, JT Miller, and there's some guys that are hot. But the, you know, and Brendan, I'll say this: who's been better than Bo Horvat, you know, consistently? I mean, JT Miller, yes, but Bo Horvat down the stretch here has been absolutely incredible.
17 goals in the last 23 games.
Wow.
From Bo Horvat.
Yeah.
Up to 31 on the year now. Obviously a new career high for him. And the captain has showed up down the stretch to help this team continue to win games. And he'll need to continue to do it for 8 more to see if they can sneak into the postseason.
You know, I'm thinking about this, Hershey. Was there a potential for a letdown tonight? Because we see Arizona in the basement of the NHL. You're looking over at that roster.
You're looking ahead to Dallas,
yeah, looking
on Monday,
ahead to
too.
Dallas. Like, is this a potential letdown spot for
us? Brendan, you and I always talk about those what do we call
trap
them?
Games.
Trap games, right? I'm going to say no, because Arizona's not good enough. Even if the Canucks don't bring their best effort, Arizona is not good enough. And if the Canucks lose this game, shame on them. Down the playoff stretch where they need every point, then the Canucks don't deserve to make the playoffs.
I think the only excuse for losing tonight is, you know, the opposing goalie Vemelka stands on his head.
Even then, though, all due respect to the Coyotes, I agree with what Hershey said. But you look at their injured list, and you look at the guys they have in their lineup tonight. AHLers like Michael Carcone, Nathan Smith, and Jack McBain, both in the lineup tonight playing their second career NHL games. Matias Michelli only has 20 career NHL games to his name. They've got a lot of young, inexperienced players in their lineup. And, you know, from an offensive perspective, in terms of guys they have in the lineup tonight, Phil Kessel and Shane Gostisbehere are their high point getters, along with Nick Schmaltz. But beyond those three guys, they don't have much in terms of offensive production. They don't get a lot of offense, so you may only need to beat Vemelka once or twice to be able to win this game. So even if he stands on his head, this is a team you still should be beating, need to be beating, and, you know, as Hershey said, shame on you if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, what I want to see more than anything here, guys, is I don't know if this team is going to mature to the level they want them to mature this season, but I don't want to see any signs of that kind of immaturity they showed at different times this season when they had opportunities and kind of laid an egg, or they didn't take advantage of the opportunity in front of them. I just have no time to see these guys kind of stub their toe. I can live with the loss. I can live with King Louis going off and scoring like 4 goals tonight or something. Like, I can live with that if that happens. I can't live with a lackluster effort. And I think as far as the character of this group goes, that would be very disappointing if they lay an egg here tonight.
Well, here's the thing. is I don't think the Arizona Coyotes will beat the Vancouver Canucks tonight. The only way the Canucks lose this game is if the Vancouver Canucks beat themselves.
Yeah. And Demko sucks, and that's not going to happen. He's never, and he's, yeah, we don't, that just doesn't happen to Demko. Knock on wood, Brendan.
You mentioned Demko, Hershey. You know, I think in the, maybe lost a little bit in the Pettersson hype and watching Pettersson kind of return to form here. Thatcher Demko's play has kind of taken a bit of a backseat. Or maybe it's just becoming old hat that Demko has just been so good this year that we're not even fazed by a 40-plus save performance anymore.
Yeah, you know what? But it's good because they haven't. You're right. He's had to make some good saves, and he's made some game savers in the second periods when we've seen breakaways to get the team into overtime. But you're right. It's been good to see because, you know, that shows that you're a better team. When you're always relying on your goalie night after night after night after night, you're not going to be good enough. You're just not. So it's nice to see them winning some games and not having to rely on him as much. But they've still had to rely on him, Brendan, and lean on him quite a few times. I think of a couple saves against Vegas where it was like, wow, we're running out of words, Brendan and I.
Well, yeah, and you look at some of the teams they're going to have to play down the stretch here in terms of their most difficult matchups. They've got Dallas on Monday. They've got to go into Minnesota and Calgary at the end of next week. Those are games where you're going to need to lean on Thatcher Demko a bit. Yeah. Tonight needs to be a game where you don't have to, where it's a quiet night for Thatcher Demko, where your top players take over this game. The start to this game is going to be crucial. And, you know, again, it's the Arizona Coyotes. We saw how much they struggled against the Canucks when Vancouver was down there last week. But the start to this game is crucial for Vancouver because you can't, if you give a team hope, then you never know what they can accomplish. You got to try and, you know, step on them early in this first period, take them out of the game, and then you can sort of put it into cruise control from there on in. That, to me, is the recipe for success for the Canucks tonight. If it's a close game late into the third and you're going to need to rely on Demko, that's where you worry about things because, you know, if you let that happen, just like we talk about, you know, if you put yourself in a situation with a referee, put yourself in a situation where the referee needs to make a penalty call, then at that point the referee makes the penalty call and you've put yourself in that spot. Or you can't criticize reffing when you lose a one-goal game because you shouldn't have been in that situation. It's the same with this Arizona Coyotes team tonight. You got to put this game out of reach and you got to do it as early as possible.
Well, and again, shame on them if they don't, right? Come out with a good start, you know, get a couple early if you can, and then you can play the game that you want to play. They have to play catch-up.
For all the talk that we've had around guys like Quinn Hughes, we spoke about Oliver Ekman-Larsson quite a bit as well, obviously with the big contract he has. But the guy who's been playing a lot of minutes recently, at least played a ton the other game, was Tyler Myers. What do you think of his game recently and how he's been performing?
I think Tyler Myers consistently has been their best defenseman all year. You know, yes, he makes mistakes, and yes, he's... you know, but everybody does. But, I mean, night after night after night, this guy has 133 hits, 137 block shots. And that's pretty impressive, really. So it's going both ways. It's not like he's, you know, missing out on one and the other. But and a lot of that is penalty kill. He's played a massive role in the penalty kill.
More minutes than anyone else on the team shorthanded
and
this
especially
year.
The second half of the year, Brendan, with the penalty kill being a lot better.
Yeah, and he talked about that today where... in his pregame media availability, I asked him about the differences in the penalty kill from the start of the year, and he sort of chuckled and said, well, it's night and day. And you look at how strong this PK has been down the stretch, guys. They're at over 80% since Bruce Boudreau arrived, when they were down at around 60% at one point in the first quarter of the season. So to recover to the level that they have, where they're not just out of the basement in the NHL anymore, they're now up to 30th in the league on the penalty kill after how dismal they were through that first quarter of the season. It's pretty impressive to see, and Tyler Myers has been a massive part of that.
On the penalty kill, you know, it is a lot more aggressive in nature. Maybe that is, you know, putting Horvat and Pettersson there more regularly. But the mindset has completely flipped. They were so passive early in the year, just trying to, like, hold on, where now they are pressuring the puck and trying to – well, they're just forcing the opponent to make a play. And it's like, okay, if you make that play, great. And we get beat, awesome. good on you, tip the cap, you made a great play. But more often than not, they're forcing mistakes in the opposition, and that's a big reason they've had success.
Yeah, and Bruce Boudreau talked about this morning, where when you have skilled guys out on the penalty kill, Hershey, the power play has to be a little more cautious, a little more conservative, because they know, you know, all due respect to guys that they've had kill penalties here over the last few years, but if you're a power play, you're going up against Jay Beagle and Tyler Mott, you're not quaking in your boots worrying about turning the puck over and giving them an odd man rush the other way. But when it's Elias Pettersson and Bo Horvat, all of a sudden you have to think about managing the puck on the power play, and you're not 100% committing to offense. And then when those guys who obviously have, you know, great ability to disrupt play, and especially Pettersson with his anticipation, get in your face and make you make decisions and make you make mistakes, it makes a huge difference, and that's what we've seen with the PK.
Well, yeah, and I liked when they threw Pettersson's season kind of changed when they threw him on the PK, right? Gave him another role. Gave him a little bit more ice time, gave him another role, and I thought, yeah, he's still had to creep up and play better, but he started to, that's when it kind of turned. And some guys do better when they get a little bit more of a challenge. You know, and from here, I mean, I'll turn this to Pod Coles, and what a guy that this guy stepped up in a big way, Brendan. What's cool about this is, you know, we saw Pettersson, we saw Besser come in, we saw Hughes come in, make a difference right away. But what's neat to watch Pod Coles in is his growth. And that has really been really cool to see to this point, Brendan.
Well, and that's what I used to love about covering junior hockey.
Yeah.
Is you would see a guy come in at the start of the year, and you're like, oh, man, can this guy even play?
Yeah.
And by the end of the year, he's a top-line player and is producing. And you don't see that sort of wide swings in terms of development in the NHL as much. But Pod Colson's a pretty good example of that, where came in early in the year, new country, new language, you know, understanding the style of the NHL game, a lot different than the KHL, and, you know, went through his growing pains and was even sat out a game by Bruce Boudreau at one point. Now he's at that spot where you can tell he's confident in his ability. He's using it to the best of his ability, both his size and his strength and his skating ability and his shot. And the exciting thing for me is not how good he is now compared to the start of the year. It's how much better he's going to get. Because if he can have that strong of a developmental curve in one season, then the sky really is the limit for this kid.
Yeah, his strength, right? You can see his strength up there, which is really cool.
Gentlemen, have a great call tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There is Brendan Batchelor, Corey Hirsch, our broadcast team. You'll hear from Batch later in the pregame as the Canucks head coach will join for exclusive comments ahead of puck drop against the Arizona Coyotes. It's funny, like, it's not like using skilled players is some form of new philosophy, Sat.
No.
On the penalty kill, right? Who leads the Canucks in shorthanded goals? Franchise history.
Powell Burry.
It's like by a country mile.
Yeah.
You know, and Alex McGillney is even up there in the short stint that he played here with the Vancouver Canucks. This is not some kind of new philosophy.
Yeah.
I think the philosophy has maybe shifted where coaches had become less inclined to use skilled players in those moments because of a wider just defensive posture and, you know, wanting to really think about your usage of star players on the whole in games.
Well, one of the things that's really been discussed too, because you do a lot of the research, and we spoke to Shayna Goldman about this as well, about, you know, how modern PKs work and how good they can be. And, you know, you start seeing once a team gets set up, there isn't too much of a difference. Now, the Canucks were so bad earlier this season that even in their defending, they were just so passive and just so much lacking confidence that it was really bad. But once a team gets set up, it's really hard to defend that. So yeah, what's the best thing you can do as a penalty killer is to create disruption, getting the puck out and, you know, keeping the puck in the offensive zone as much as you can and essentially disrupting things as much as possible. That's what really talented players are good at, with their smarts, with their talent level, with the speed they can play with. They're good at disrupting things and anticipating what the opposition does. So not only are you a threat to score, but you can actually be a better penalty killer to disrupt things. Now, when it comes to defending in your own zone, sometimes that's problematic, but you gain so much value and you have success by doing all those things that you can live with the odd bad setup once you're set up in your own zone defending on the PK.
It is the Canucks Central pregame show coming up. Talk to Cam Tucker of BCLC. Get you ready for the game. Still the player spotlight to come as well. Canucks and Coyotes at Rogers Arena on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Getting you set for all the action. It's Vancouver Canucks Game Day on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The Canucks Central pregame warm-ups have begun here at Rogers Arena. Canucks in their home blues and the Coyotes in their away whites. The Kachina jersey is back and the Coyotes looking to spoil the party as the Canucks have been on a roll lately and climbing back into that playoff race. Lethal right-wing lineup for the Arizona Coyotes tonight. Nick Schmaltz, Phil Kessel, Andrew Ladd, and Louis Erickson. I mean, in 2012, having Kessel, Ladd, and Erickson all on the same lineup would have been pretty good.
Well, I mean, the two best free agent signings from the same free agent class are back together. Andrew Ladd and Louis Erickson together.
Right, they were the stars, two of the stars of that dreadful 2016 free agent class. That class in general, like the Canucks weren't the only team to have a big swing and a miss in that class.
No.
I think there's a few teams that would be like, you know, that's one of those classes that's like almost like changed the game in a sense, where it's like there was so many mistakes that every GM around the league was like, what's going on here?
Well, you know which player is having a bit of a resurgence in that class? Kyle Okposo this year.
He's having a decent year in Buffalo, yeah.
He's actually been one of the top 50 guys producing on the power play this year. I was looking power play
stats. Right.
I'm like, Okposo.
For Connor Garland, yeah.
It's like he's doing really well. He has 42 points, 19 goals this year, which, you know, for a guy making a lot of money, still not, you know, amazing. But of that free agent class, he's actually showing some bit of production late.
So we're going to link up here with Cam Tucker of BCLC in a moment. But... you know, one thing we will talk about is the Canucks back in the playoff chase set, and whether you want to believe in it or not, with eight games to go, the chase is still available to the Canucks, who can max out at 98 points. The LA Kings lost last night pretty handily at the hands of the Colorado Avalanche. Currently tonight, the Golden Knights are down. The Minnesota Wild are down. The Dallas Stars are down. So opportunity is here for the Canucks. And we have Cam Tucker joining us now. Cam Tucker of BCLC. Cam, the Canucks playoff odds, are they back on the board or what?
So you're telling me there's a chance, are you?
That's yeah, it.
They are back on the board. They were put up earlier this week, Canucks, to make the playoffs. So the odds on that right now, 12.0 on PlayNow Sports. Look, their work's cut out for them. They're up against it. It's going to be tough. I mean, you essentially, if you're the Canucks, you have to essentially win out and hope that at least two of these teams really kind of fall by the wayside and allow you to, you know, to get into that playoff spot. It's going to be tough. But, you know, I guess if you're the Canucks, all you can do is just win these games, win the next game on the schedule. They get one tonight against an Arizona Coyotes team that, you know, Rich, I saw you posted their lineup on social media a few minutes ago, and boy, oh boy, tough times in Arizona. But, yeah, they're still there, I guess. There's a chance for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, if they win this game, especially if the out-of-town scoreboard holds and Dallas loses and Vegas loses, then, you know, the impossible seems a little less impossible. So 12.0 odds to lay that bet doesn't seem too bad, courtesy of PlayNow Sports. But as far as this game is concerned, well, the Canucks are big-time favorites, aren't they, at home ice?
They are huge favorites. And to say that it's a little bit lopsided in terms of the betting trends would be putting it kindly. I'll put it to you like this, guys. The Canucks right now, money line was about 1.31, so they are heavy money line favorites at home tonight. Bets were about 80% on the Canucks, handle 96%. Then we're looking at the puck line, so the Canucks minus 1.5. And the Canucks were at about 1.80 earlier in the day. I believe that's moved to 1.74 odds. Canucks to cover, so they have to win this game by two or more points if you bet on the Canucks puck line. 97% of bets were on the Canucks minus 1.5. 99% of handle was on the Canucks. So people are picking the Canucks not only to win this game, but to win it pretty big. And I think that if you're betting on this game, you're looking at the money line versus the puck line. There's certainly, if you think the Canucks are going to win this game, and a lot of people do, there was certainly more value on the Canucks puck line minus 1.5. So, I mean, it wasn't even close today. It was all Canucks all the time. So,
how are Elias Pettersson props changing lately since number 40 has been on such a hot streak?
Well, right now, a lot of, like, if you go to the props menu, what you'll see is a lot of players have the over-under on their total points for tonight are at 0.5. Petey right now is at over-under 1.5 points. So that's if you're betting on the over, and a lot of people were, he has to get two or more points for that bet to hit. If you're looking at Petey's game logs over the last few weeks, I think since March 26th, he's had five multi-point games in his last 8 outings. So he's heating up, and he's heating up kind of like when the Canucks absolutely need it. This is a player that looks like the Petey of old when he first burst onto the scene. And right now we're taking a lot of action on Elias Pettersson over 1.5 total points. The odds on that were 2.50. So if you think there's value on Petey getting a multi-point game, that was a selection that a lot of our bettors were looking up today and putting their money on as well.
Yeah, and he's been on a tear. I mean, even the anytime goal last game was 2.7. It was a prop that I suggested people take, and they cashed pretty good with him scoring that goal. And those odds are now down to 2.05. And JT Miller looks a bit favored to score tonight, 1.9, despite the fact he hasn't scored in full 4 games. So maybe the matchup bodes well for JT Miller tonight.
Yeah, I think that, you know, watching him play, I haven't got the feeling that, you know, he's slumping. I mean, the numbers would obviously suggest that, you know, he's going through a bit of a tough stretch here, but when you watch him play, I still see the same physically engaged player. He's made some nice plays. I think he had the assist on the Bo Horvat goal the other night. He's still playing really good hockey. Goals just haven't been going in at the same rate that they were earlier in the year. So, you know, if bettors might be looking at that, is he due for a bit of a breakout tonight? You know, who knows? Arizona, I have no idea what to expect from the Coyotes tonight. I think that this is going to be a Canucks team that's really motivated to win. And I think that what we're seeing over the past few weeks is their best players have been their best players. And you think, you know, Bo has been on a tear. Pete's been on a tear. This is JT Miller's turn tonight.
Cam, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for this.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bet on hockey like never before with PlayNow Sports, the official sports betting partner of the Vancouver Canucks.
That is Cam Tucker of BCLC as the Canucks and Coyotes are in their pregame. And, you know, one player I am kind of curious about on the other side tonight, Sat, is Nick Schmaltz. Always been a big fan of his game. Talked about him last offseason. Is that a guy that you could pluck for cheap and potentially see him get back to previous form? Well, if there's anything about the Coyotes this year that's gone well, it's Nick Schmaltz's play. He pays 287 for an anytime goal. I'm going to play the other side. I'm going to go for Nick Schmaltz to get one tonight. And also, I'm still riding the Connor Garland train. He did me dirty the other night, but the revenge game narrative is here, so I'm going Connor Garland again for an anytime goal.
There's some juice there, 2.7 for Connor Garland getting an anytime goal, a bit more than some of the other Canuck players. Bo Horvat's at 1 point, just at 2. JT Miller 1.9, which kind of tells you that at least the odds makers have a feeling that it could be a JT Miller night tonight, with the odds not being you know super high, and 2.05 for Elias Pettersson, who's been on a bit of a tear as well. So it could very well be a JT Miller night tonight, and that's why I was kind of bringing up his numbers. 13 points in his last 13 games, no goals in his last 4 games, and given the way JT Miller's played this season, he doesn't go too long without scoring a goal.
And one good pivot could be to take them with power play points. You know, you're getting a little bit of juice there instead of going for the anytime goal. If you think the Canucks power play stays hot, then maybe that's a way you can get in on the action over at PlayNow.com with BC Elsie, and maybe take advantage of Alex Chiasson still playing on the power play. I think on the money line for a Chiasson power play point, you're getting
3.25.
So not too shabby.
Not too bad at all.
With the juice there. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. When we come back, we'll get to the player spotlight, and you'll also hear the exclusive comments of the coach, Bruce Boudreau, in Behind the Bench. That's next on the Canuck Central pregame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Canucks pregame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Time now for Behind the Bench. Here's Brendan Batchelor.
Coyotes tonight at Rogers Arena, and it's time to go behind the bench with Bruce Boudreau. And Bruce, coming off four consecutive wins for your group, do you sense some added belief in the team? Because it's one thing to talk about what you need to accomplish, it's another thing to do it, and you guys have at least started to do what you need to do here down the stretch.
I don't know if the word added is there. I mean, I think we've believed all the time. I mean, now all of a sudden it's just getting a little closer to reality, and we see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now you can, instead of going through everybody's schedule and looking wins, losses, and everything, we just know now that if we win, we'll be successful. And that's the bottom line. And it may sound simple, but it's mentally a good thing that you know that if you win, that there is going to be a goal that you will have achieved.
Elias Pettersson's playing some of the best hockey we've seen him play since arriving in Vancouver over the last few years. What are you seeing from him right now in all situations, not just at even strength?
Well, I mean, he's getting points on the power play. He's killing penalties. Our penalty killing has been, touch wood, very, very good in the last 15, 20 games. He's a very skilled player that sees the ice extremely well and can think one step ahead, and not everybody can do that. And when he's got the puck, like his vision is so good that now the plays that he's making are being finished. And he's always had that. Maybe before that they just weren't finishing, or he wasn't finishing. But now he's been in a pretty hot groove recently, and hopefully he can continue with that.
When it comes to him on the penalty kill, he's talked a lot about the fact that he tries to think about what the power play would want to do, because he's a guy that's played power play a lot of his life. Is that the mentality you want your skilled guys to have when they go on the PK, to try and anticipate that because they have so much experience playing the power play?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's quite that, other than that's just great hockey sense. He knows, I think he looks at the stick and he looks where the puck is located, and he can read where the passes are going to come, and he can read by the body language what the player is trying to do. I think the coaches do a really good job of explaining what they're going to do, so they already know in that situation. But I mean, I just think good hockey players have got great anticipation, and Petey and Miller and Horvat, these offensive guys that are on the power of penalty killing, all have that.
Thanks for this. Good luck tonight.
All righty.
Bruce Boudreau behind the bench, the exclusive comments of the coach each and every game day here on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. It is the Canucks Central pregame show. Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. It's time to get to the player spotlight. It's brought to you by Super Soil. Want to have your garden in the spotlight this spring? Then make sure you head to Super Soil, BC's largest supplier of soils, mulch, and gravel. Visit supersoil.ca. Sats, we're looking at Bo Horvat. All the talk is about Elias Pettersson. Well, Bo Horvat, right now, the only guy who's scoring more goals than Horvat over the last few weeks is one Austin Matthews. That's just how good Bo Horvat's been lately.
He's been terrific. His last 23 games, he has 17 goals.
That's all right.
26 points. And his last 11 games, well, it's not all that much worse. The last 11 games, the man has 9 goals. So you're talking about him being on a torrid goal-scoring pace, shattering his season high, now at 31 on the year. And if he continues to score goals at this pace, well, he might just make things very interesting for the Canucks. And that's been the big advantage that he's had. And No, we talked so much about Bo and said, okay, what is he going to be? Is he going to be an offensive player? Is he going to be a two-way guy? And earlier this season, the production wasn't there, but his two-way game was improved. He was winning his matchups. And the question was, can he put two both together? Well, that hasn't happened. But he's scoring at such a prolific rate that even though his defensive game has taken a bit of a hit, he's outproducing those things by a wide margin.
And that's ultimately what you want to see. Just win your matchup. However you may do it, that's something Bo Horvat has definitely been doing lately. And the goals, I mean, look, a little bit of it is puck luck. You know, he's had some. You know, you think about the slap shot goal he had streaking down the wing here not that long ago. You don't see Bo score too many slap shot goals, but he just kind of put it through the goalie. And even said himself, like, I think that's the first slap shot I've scored in my career. He scores a lot from the bumper spot on the power play, which has been super hot lately. Had one goal where he didn't even touch the puck. Obviously, it just goes in off the faceoff. But he's running a run of luck, but you earn your luck, right? Yeah. And he's playing really well. You see it in the forecheck lately, too.
I'm glad you brought that up.
There's just a lot to Bo's game that is adding up. And that's why he's getting more bounces lately.
Well, him and Pedersen, especially last game, Dan, on the forecheck, were absolutely dogs relentless. I mean, every battle they were in, they were coming away with the puck. And when both those guys work like that, when they use their speed and they're tenacious, it is so hard to stop. Because not only are they tough to beat in those battles because they're going to win the puck and come away with it, and then you also add the fact that they can also give point, produce a little bit of offense, especially with the way Pedersen is playing, too. So that duo, as much as I don't love it long-term, you really can't dispute the amount of lightning they've caught in a bottle recently.
It's really worked, and we'll see it again tonight. Horvat with Elias Pettersson and Connor Garland as the Canucks run out the same lines that they've been going with lately as why mess up what ain't broke. The line rushes were Podkolzin, Miller, Chiasson, Garland, Horvat, Pettersson, Dickinson, Lamico, Lockwood, Dries, Richardson, Burrows, and then on D, OEL, Myers, Hughes, Shen, Hunt, Dermott. Nick Patan did once again take warm-ups, but Bruce Boudreau is not tinkering with a lineup that's on a winning streak. So we continue to see Kyle Burrows as the fourth line right wing sack.
Yeah, and I mean, right now you don't have a ton of options. I guess you could go with Patan instead, but at least Burrows brings a little physicality. He can finish his checks. You add a little bit of size too, and if you need something on the back end, he gives you a little bit. And the way Patan was playing, he wasn't really doing much, you know. Yeah. And I think he was creating a bit initially, but that really had tailed off the last little while. So if you're not producing offense, and you don't have a really role on special teams somewhere, why not just play Burrows there? At least you have a physical guy on the forecheck, and if you need to use him on the back end, you can. You saw him take a few shifts on the back end. He had a couple shifts that he actually played with Dermott, and he played with Hunt a couple times. So to get him involved on both sides of the ice. But, you know, it's because of the situation they find themselves in with all the injuries. I mean, they don't want to play Burrows there on the fourth line, but they won last game. You have Arizona tonight. Probably going to run your top six pretty hard tonight.
Yeah, and the goaltending matchup will be Thatcher Demko against Karel Vemelka. The Canucks, when they played Arizona last week, saw Harry Carey Sateri. Am I allowed to say that?
Harry Carey Sateri?
I will never forget the old SNL skits with Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey bits.
Yeah, those are terrific.
Those are so good. Oh, Will Ferrell on SNL, just legendary. But yes, no Harry Carey Sateri for the Arizona Coyotes in this one. We talked a lot about Connor Garland during Canuck Central, and you know he is producing at 5-on-5. It's funny, he's clearly been the third player on that line with Horvat and Pettersson. It's working, so does it matter all that much? But I would like to see him be a little bit more involved tonight, Sat, than he was the other night. And that sounds weird because he did have a couple of points, but there was just moments where you noticed what Pettersson and Horvat were doing, and Garland kind of got lost a little bit.
He did, and And I do think it's kind of fair because as much as Garland had two assists and he had that great play we talked so much about behind the net to set up Elias Pettersson, he had a pretty quiet night. I remember turning to Bick during the game on the weekend and going, this line's been really good, but it's pretty much just Bo and Pettersson going. It's those two guys really that are driving the bus and really generating. I'm not really noticing the third guy on that line. So I do think it's fair that when I look at the game against Vegas, to me, the best player on the ice for the Canucks was Elias Pettersson. Bo Horvat wasn't that far behind with how he was playing. Quinn Hughes had a tremendous game, two for Vancouver. And even though Garland had 2 points, he was probably, what, the fourth or fifth best player in the game, sixth best, which is still good. But my point being, the reason he didn't get as much talk is because I really thought the two drivers the last game was Bo Horvat and Elias Pettersson more than anything else.
Yeah, and Garland has continued to produce at 5-on-5. Leads the team in first assists at 5-on-5, total assists at 5-on-5, and is second in goals on the team, only behind JT Miller at 5-on-5. So it's been a really, you know, from a total production standpoint, Garland's numbers have been there in comparison to his teammates, but still a big-time question. You can hear our full conversation back on the podcast, Canuck Central. You can check it out, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, subscribe. That way you never miss any of our exclusive interviews or in-depth conversations on your Vancouver Canucks. And if you like the show, please slap a 5-star review on it as well. Take a quick look at the out-of-town scoreboard, Sat. It is so, so much a part of the storyline this late in the season. Currently, the Oilers are up 3-0 on the Predators, as all those teams are still fighting for playoff positioning. The Wild are up 2-1 on the Dallas Stars through two periods of play. Kevin Fiala has 2 goals in that one. Jason Robertson now up to 35 for the Dallas Stars. And the other one, the Vegas Golden Knights and Calgary Flames are tied at 1 apiece after 20 minutes. Jack Eichel equalizing after Dylan Dubé opened the scoring. It's the out-of-town scoreboard. It matters, of course. But at the end of the day, Sat, Canucks got to take care of their own business to really make this a story into the final 2 weeks of the season.
You know, it's you look at the out-of-town scoreboard, things can go your way, and we'll see if the Flames can regain the lead and end up beating the Vegas Golden Knights. But if you get help on the out-of-town scoreboard and you win tonight's game, I don't know, you can start entertaining things a bit more.
That makes Monday's game against Dallas that much bigger. They need to get the win first, though, tonight against the Arizona Coyotes. Canucks have been riding the four-game win streak, looking to make it 5 tonight with this one. Thatcher Demko against Karel Vemelka for the Arizona Coyotes. Puck drop is coming up with Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch. I will be back during intermission with Bick Nizar. Sat back for postgame. You can watch him on the panel on Sportsnet. Puck drop is next on Sportsnet Radio Network.